Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show co-hosted by Vera Resnick and Debbie Bruck. We're challenging you to join us on our journey to complete Samuel Hahnemann's Organon in 1 year. Let's go.
Hi, I'm Debbie Bruck, founder of Homeopathy World Community, talking with classical homeopath Vera Resnick. Today is June 7th, 2010, and you're listening to show number 24 of Who's Reading the Organon. We'll be continuing our study of the aphorism 282 plus the footnote, and then carry on from there to 283. Let me check to see if Vera has signed in.
Hi, Debbie.
Ah, great. She's here. We're going to have a little voices in the background today. You know, we carry on with our lives even if we have a show, and family is always here with us. So my thoughts yesterday and today went to water. Someone sent a quote, average American uses 150 gallons of water per day. That's for drinking, washing, and all the other uses that we do. And I found that was sent by Carlos Ohms on Twitter. And I just felt a tremendous impact about that, considering how precious our water is. And someone else sent me something about Emoto's water crystals, and that we should hold our intentions high for the water on this planet. As you know, I've written quite a few blogs, lengthy blogs, about the oil spill and the damage to our environment and the ecosystem, to the food chain, to the livelihoods of the people who live in all the regions that are being touched by the oil, and the fact that it's all going into the atmosphere and spreading much further than you can imagine. So that's not a pleasant way to get started in terms of what's happening to our Earth. So we're the healers. We have to do something good in this world. Are you with me?
I'm with you. Listening
good.
Carefully.
Yes. I mean, you know, we do have to put out some good intentions for healing the earth. Rachel Carlson was the first one. And I guess our study of homeopathy is very, very important, because at least we're improving ourselves and those who are listening, and reaching, again, further than we can imagine by our small voice out into the universe.
Okay. Sometimes.
Okay, I think we'll go ahead and make your remarks, then we'll go to the study, and not much else in terms of news.
Okay, I just think that sometimes when you hear the big news in the world, there may not be much we can do to affect the big news, but if we can do homeopathy better, then we affect the day-to-day lives of regular people in our environment, and that has great value. And since the objective is to do homeopathy better, to my mind, that's the objective of reading the Organon, that's the objective of discussions about cases, of discussions about principles in homeopathy, is to do this job better. It's not academic. It's very, very real and practical in people's everyday lives. Okay,
right.
Debbie, we were on aphorism 282.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Most common phrase in the modern world is, can you hear me?
I know. You know, I shouldn't name the company that's got a monopoly on that.
That and hello, hello. Okay. We read yesterday the first part of the footnote to 282 where Hanuman is telling us that when one of the three great miasms appears actually on the skin, we should sock it with everything we have. We shouldn't be hesitant. We shouldn't be fearful. We should use large doses and repeat frequently. It's like it's an opportunity, and even if there, it looks like there wouldn't be aggravation, but even if there is some aggravation from it, it seems like it's worth it. That's my impression of what he's saying anyway. But let's carry on with the second part, second paragraph in Berica of that footnote. Since diseases in general are but dynamic attacks on the life principle and nothing material, no materia peccans. You remember that expression? No actual diseased matter that needs to be taken out. This is based on earlier use in the Organon, attacking the allopaths who say that when someone is sick, you look for diseased matter, you look for diseased tissue, you take that out, and then you assume the sickness is gone. I had a student who loved to refer to this as pecan nuts, but that is an aside. Okay, since diseases in general are but dynamic attacks upon the life principle and nothing material, no materia peccans as their basis, as the old school in its delusion has fabulated for 1,000 years and treated the sick accordingly to their ruin, there is also in these cases nothing material to take away, nothing to smear away, to burn or tie or cut away, without making the patient endlessly sicker and more incurable than he was before local treatment of these three miasms was instituted. The dynamic, inimical principle, exerting its influence on the vital energy, is the essence of these external signs of the inner malignant miasms that can be extinguished solely by the action of a homeopathic medicine upon the vital and affects it in a similar but stronger manner, and thus extracts the sensation of internal and external spirit-like conceptual disease enemy in such a way that it no longer exists for the life principle, and thus releases the patient of his illness and he is cured.
The first thing that I was thinking of was the fact that you used the emotion fear, telling the practitioner not to be fearful, because to actually see these changes, in one way it's good because it's on the surface, but on the other way, when you see something happening to the body, it's more real, and it can instill fear in the individual. And also that it might not look so pleasant. And when it doesn't look so good, you begin to wonder.
But the thing I think that's most interesting, and this is, Hanuman is repeating the central principles of homeopathy that he's mentioned from the beginning of the Organon on. Disease in general is but a dynamic attack on the life principle and nothing material. Now, one of the things that happens when we see some kind of eruption on the skin and it looks really awful, and we tend to think that's the disease. And if we have microscopes and we see a bacteria, we tend to think that's the disease. And if you just kill that, remove that, or in Hanuman's expressions, take it away, smear away, burn it away, tie it away, or cut it away. If we can fix on something like that using conventional allopathic thinking, then we're working on the disease. If someone produces a wart of any kind, everyone is familiar with this process, that you see a wart is produced, it's burned away, another few come and join it, they are burned away. At some point, the body just gets weak, too weak to produce more warts, and it's producing stuff on the inside that people aren't aware of. One example is a case where there was a skin cyst above the area of the left ovary. It was burned away, came back, burned away, came back. Then someone had a brilliant laser kind of treatment to get rid of it. It didn't come back, and the patient developed a cyst on the left ovary. Well, that was removed, came back, removed, came back, removed, came back. The patient developed endometriosis. That was removed, came back. It's like it's never ending because we are not touching the disease at all in that kind of activity.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the idea of disease being something that's dynamic, it's not material. It's spirit-like. It's felt in the sensation of the life force. All these are concepts that are very difficult for us to grasp. I think even people who've been working for many years as homeopaths, the attachment to the concept of, okay, there's a bacteria there, that's why he's sick, it's very, very difficult to shift.
Uh-huh. Well, in our day-to-day lives, isn't it the same? We don't see, I'm going to talk about something that's spirit-like, the spirit of all life, the universal spirit of all life, soul energy or God, that does animate everything in most people's minds. To really understand that is near impossible. It seems there have to be an inner knowing, intuition, or some kind of a faith to reach that concept that you say is so difficult to grasp, and because we can only deal with what we can use with our senses, touch, see, feel, taste, hold, you know, and hear. So it's much more difficult to deal with something that's not within those bounds.
Although I find I come back to my favorite quote, which I'll probably quote over and over again from various sections from Hahnemann's Chronic Diseases, where he says that this true theorem is not to be reckoned among those which should be comprehended, nor among those which I ask a blind faith. I demand no faith. Experience alone declares it. So
right.
Basically what he's saying and what we see, if we do our prescription based around the external thing that we want to get rid of, with the objective of getting rid of the external thing as the central and total focus, without looking at elements within the symptom picture of the better and the worse, and certain degree of the mental disposition, when we look at the symptoms purely therapeutically, I don't know about you, I find when I go according to therapeutic books where they say, if there's this problem, use this. If there's that problem, use that. Every now and then in desperation, I turn to one of these books and the prescriptions never work. At least not in my experience. How about you?
I'm listening carefully. I feel like definitely Hahnemann does not expect blind faith, and I didn't mean ever there to be blind faith. The whole mm-hmm. point of the fact that he's written six versions of the Organon is because he's constantly questioning, experimenting, trying to understand it further and further. So we can only actually deal with what we have in front of us. So we have to work with the material. And yet there's another level of things that's in our mind, in our emotions, in how, in our history, in our genetics, in our heritage. All of these things have to come into play in solving the problem of what's attached to that material thing that we're looking at, those symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess in allopathy, they don't take into consideration all of those things holistically. You might go to a specialist for your psychological problems, and you might go to another specialist for that wart, to a dermatologist, without all of those people sitting in a room together and saying, oh, this and this and this, and put the whole picture together, is what the homeopath seems to do.
I think also there's a difference between the focus on the visible disease as the disease, or being the visible disease as an expression of disease. Now, I think sometimes within allopathic prescribing, occasionally I will hear people say, oh, this person has a rash, and they've had a skin rash, and they've had asthma, and there's a connection. Sometimes it comes up, but more often than not, the external symptom is seen as the disease to be removed. And this, like I say, it's especially interesting when you come across external symptoms that are so bothersome that it's easy to get caught up and try and just focus on the therapeutics of this gets this, instead of looking at it in the more holistic way that you're describing, in the frame of totality, as opposed to just isolated symptom with no modalities, with no full description.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's easy to say, let's just cut it off, burn it off, use some acid on that wart, or, you know, I've even tried the masking, what is not masking tape, it's duct tape. Have you ever read that?
No.
Duct tape, put that on your wart, and it will supposedly remove it. So, you know, everyone is trying to remove something that either doesn't look pretty in public, or is itching, is bothering the heck out of them. Everybody's experienced it, so they know what it's like to try and get rid of something that's a message from deep, deep further away than just what's on the surface.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. I mean, just to see, again, this wording that the homeopathic medicine at the end of that second paragraph extracts the sensation of internal and external spirit-like disease enemy in such a way that it no longer exists for the life principle, and thus releases the patient of his illness and he is cured. It's it's like being in a different planet with different gravity and different laws of physics, and it's a different way of seeing things that I think is, we can read it, we can understand the words, but I think fully grasping what's going on is something that we understand through doing the work, through seeing how it works.
I think you're touching on something important, because by reading this really important, vital aphorism and footnote, it kind of is telling us why using the traditional scientific method does not seem to work in a majority of cases for just a pure experiment, because there's this unseen information that doesn't have a material essence to it. And how do you quantify that?
I think also it adds to an understanding or an appreciation of the times when you give a remedy and the patient improves very, very fast. And the improvement, the way the patient improves is such that people say, but the body doesn't work that way. How did that happen? This is a medical miracle. The healing is too fast, or this wasn't supposed to heal at all. If you see the disease as being completely physical, as involving materia peccans, involving something to be cut or tied or burned away, whatever it might be, then you expect healing to go according to certain rules. And at least my understanding, and certainly from cases that I've seen, both of others and cases I've worked with, sometimes you see a healing that happens against all logic. And that's because we're in this different planet, we're in this different world where understanding of sickness and health is completely different. It's sickness is dynamic attack. It's a non-material attack. And anything material that's involved is an expression of this non-material dynamic attack. That's the way I'm seeing it, at any rate.
So we're kind of in our material earthbound world, in this universe, we're actually, it's what he's designed, Hahnemann has designed to, or discovered, is this connection between the material and the spiritual. And that's why you use words like, this is a miraculous recovery, that it doesn't work like this. So at one time, my youngest daughter had bronchitis, and she'd been going on with it for a week. I was ready now to go to the doctor the very next morning and get her an antibiotic. But instead, I don't know, I looked at her, and I recognized certain symptoms, gave her a dose of Bryonia. She had been coughing like crazy and full of, her chest was full of phlegm. I gave her the dose of Bryonia. In the morning, the phlegm was gone, and she stopped coughing. And I was bewildered. I say, well, where did it, all that stuff go? It can't disappear in a night. How could it do that?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you would say, when you see these types of things happening before your eyes, it's hard to believe them. So, we are dealing with this interaction in this, I don't know what to say, you called it a different world. You might call it in-between worlds.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a little story. I'm ready to go on with the rest of this footnote and aphorism.
I'm just thinking of skipping just to read a little bit from a footnote that is earlier, a footnote from aphorism number 8. I'll just read this a little because it's in the subject and it's Hahnemann speaking again instead of me, and much better. He's talking about how the physician is unable to regard as a state of being of the organism wherein it's dynamically altered by the morbidly deranged vital force as an altered state of health. But he views the disease as a something material, which after the cure is completed may still remain lurking in some corner of the
disease. He views the disease as what?
As a something material.
Uh-huh.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I do.
Which, I feel that phrase should be copyrighted, which after the cure is completed may still remain lurking in some corner in the interior of the body, in order someday, during the most vigorous health, to burst forth at its pleasure with its material presence. So dreadful is the blindness of the old pathology. No wonder that it could only produce a system of therapeutics which is solely occupied with scouring out the poor patient. And we see that some patients going through the system are literally scoured out. They have elements that are smeared away, burned, tied, cut away. Anyway, the last paragraph of that footnote is, experience, however, teaches that the itch, plus its external manifestations, as well as the chanka, together with the interior, with the inner venereal miasm, can and must be cured only by means of specific medicines taken internally. But the figworts, if they have existed for some time without treatment, have need for their perfect cure, the external application of their specific medicines, as well as their internal use at the same time. Now, this is a subject of a lot of argument and discussion, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Right, about whether to give homeopathic remedies externally. And in general,
yeah,
my understanding is that to put a remedy, to use it externally in rubbing, and we'll be discussing that in a further aphorism, that's one thing, but to put it on an affected area in order to cure that area, I've always understood that Hahnemann is very opposed to, except in this specific aphorism. If anyone has any input on that, it would really be helpful to anyone reading.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you say these words, this Shankar, and it's really gross and disgusting. And I keep going back to the same concept of fear for some reason.
I think it's one big difference between Western homeopaths and Indian homeopaths. I think the Indian homeopaths deal with a lot more difficult skin conditions than we do and are perhaps more used to it. We tend to see the occasional skin condition because they'll usually be more, if something is serious, it'll usually be more in conventional medicine than it will be in homeopathic medicine, because that's the only governmental medicine that there is in the West. Because in India they have the homeopathic hospitals, and I see from the photographs of live cases, the before and the after that you see, or the photographs of reported cases, you see a whole different picture in what people are used to dealing with.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking that, you know, when you see stuff oozing out of you, MRSA, deterioration of the skin, necrosis, all sorts of different things. It's not that the humans over here in America we also have the same problems. But as you said, maybe it is the homeopaths don't see that many cases of it. But in general, when a human being sees these kinds of things coming forth from their body, it's a cause for alarm, and then there's this disease in general is attack on life principle and nothing material, eruption on the skin. You tend to think that is the disease, so and the microscope, that's the disease. So he was at a time when he saw both exterior and supposedly the inner world through the microscope. Some new things, and each time there's a new discovery, we find a new way to look at it and to say, aha, that's it.
But I think, Debbie, you're giving a perfect example of homeopathic treatment, because it's not just the skin infection, it's how the patient is reacting to it. There are patients who'll be totally disgusted with it. There are patients who'll say, oh, well, I have this, do you want to play with it? I mean, literally.
Oh.
There are some very, very different attitudes.
Yeah.
Some people are fatalistic. Some people they say, yeah, I have this, but I had it before and it'll be gone in 2 days. And that's all part of the case taking. It gives the perfect opportunity to round up the symptom, to round it off and see more aspects of it.
Uh-huh. Yes. So the reaction of the individual to the external disease is just as much a part of the case as the external manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that we have to take into account.
Right.
That's just great, Vera.
And we're close to running out of time, I think.
Oh, we have 1 minute. Okay, we need our summary. That was quick.
We need our summary.
Yes.
To me, it's just disease is a dynamic attack. Disease is not material. It's not the thing,
disease
it's the thought.
look to the spiritual. There's your answer.
But Hanuman at some stage states that he's not talking metaphysics. I was looking for the sources we were speaking, and I couldn't find it.
Okay, well, we're gonna think on it, and I'm going to close the show. I do want to thank everyone for listening, and Vera, thank you so much. You're just great to do this with me each day.
Thank you, Debbie. It's mutual and appreciated.
Okay, bye-bye. Until
next time. Okay, bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with homeopaths Vera Resnick and Debbie Brook on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.